the previous paragraphs. I forgot to photocopy them. Paragraph sign. But this is from Pasuk Yutes on, it's about four Pesukim. They're simple ones, I don't really even have any notes on them. Vaishak shol malachim, Shol sent messengers. Elishai tishai vayomer, and he said, Shuchalai is David bincha. Send me David your son, Asher batzon, who's grazing with the sheep. Vaikach ishai chamor lechem. So Yishai took a donkey's load of bread, v'nod yain, and a bottle of wine, ugdi izim echad, and one goat, v'ishlach v'yad David no shol, and he sent it as a gift to with David to shol. V'avo David no shol, so David came to shol. V'yama l'fon avay stubi for shol. It's part of my word is missing here. But amen. Shaul loved David. Mode very much. Vayonos came and he was for him a page, his arms bearer. By Shlach Shaul Yishai Lemor, so Shaul said the man message to Yishai saying, Yamo no David, let David stand before me, Kimotzochem Beinai, because he found favor in my eye. Finally, last parak in Pasuk in Parak Tezayin, Vayob Yos Ruach Elohim El Shaul, when the bad spirit from Elohim was upon Shaul, Velokach David as Akinor, David would take the harp, Vinigain Biodo, when he would play it with his hands, Viravach L'Shaul, and Shaul literally means he would be expanded, but it means he would have he would feel sedated. I don't know if that's too strong a word, perhaps. Yeah, it's a drug. Tranquilized. Yeah, also he would feel more tranquil. The tovlo, it would be good for him. The soramelava ruach, and the bad spirit would disappear from him. The bad spirit would go away from it. Now, a couple of things about this last pasuk. First of all, there's a play on words. It says that Shaul would have a ruach, a bad ruach, and then when David played ravach, right, he would feel more tranquil. The ruach hakodesh, which David provided, brought about the harvacha, the tranquility, expansiveness to Shaul, and brought him a true gematria. Now, normally I don't play around with gematrias, but here I'll do one because it's an obvious one. Ruach in gematria is Ruz. Yeah, what's Ruach in gematria?
It's
214. So 214 is Ruz, meaning secret, of Zion, of 7. 207 plus 7, right? Ruz, Zion. Ruz plus Zion. And of course, Ruz 214, of course, Zion, the 7th Midah, the 7th Sphila, is Malchus, is kingship. And the secret of the Ruach, which David HaMelech would create, a positive Ruach, was the secret of the Malchus of David, which is all those wonderful traits which you learned about last week, that he had all those great traits, the 6 traits which he brought together and which came together in David, those are the ones which gave him the capacity to make people happy and to make people feel expansiveness and to make people feel more tranquil. So that was David's special midah, and I'd like to show you a couple of things about this inside in Reb Tzadok, and this you do have on the last page. Takodas Hashavim. Reb Tzadok had many, many svarim. He wrote 20 or so svarim. I don't know how much. Yeah. No, it's not. There's no one safe, and it's not. None of them are in any sequence. Yeah, not in any sequence. You have to have look here and there and have good indexes, and it's not easy to deal with, but it's rewarding. Okay, now here I have a few brackets which I want to do from where I have, first of all, in the second column here. Avatar Shbapel, Mistar Shogar Kodesh Baruch Hu. Torah Shebaal Peh is the mystery of Hashem. She'ev shal galos b'chtav klal, actually, according to strict letter of law, it's impossible to reveal in writing at all. Darkein lo nichtav Torah b'Torah Shebaal Peh, that's why none of the Torah Shebaal Peh is written in Torah Shebaal Peh. Rak sod Hashem li'yireyev, the secret of Hashem is to those who fear Him, hein knesero, which are the community of Am Yisrael. Isha yiras Hashem, the wife of God, who is fearful of God, the ma'amake me'imke levavam, from the depths of the heart, sofer Hashem is brought the gaze to Hashem, v'ikra yirabalei, because the primary fear of God is in the heart. Kvoshis, like it says in the pasuk, v'lei v'ayin, that if you don't have a heart, it means that you don't have yiras Hashem. By dekach, and by we gazing at Hashem internally, Hashem is brought shochim milke levavam, Hashem is internalized within our hearts. V'chein yuchu asik mitzorav v'sod Hashem, hagod is b'torah shebiksav, and by Hashem dwelling in our hearts, we are able to have the capacity to reveal the secret of Hashem, which is hidden in Torah Shebiksav. Now, Torah Shebiksav, who knows what's a chacham elyona. The Torah Shebiksav is literally the leaves which fell off the tree of Hashem's chachma, of Hashem's wisdom. Really, Torah Shebiksav is the leaves falling off the tree. You know, kind of like how should I say? A representation, not a representation, but rather a sampling of Hashem's Chachma. A sampling of Hashem's Chachma. Just like the leaves which fall off the tree are indicative of the tree, although they're not the tree itself. So to Torah Shebiksav is a sampling of the great wisdom of our Kodesh Baruch Hu. The thing is, so what's Torah Shebaal Peh? So it says, Torah Shebaal Peh, who knows Bina Shelamala. This is a sampling of what our Kodesh Baruch Hu's understanding. Now, obviously, we don't understand. These are just words. It's hard to understand them when we talk about Hashem, because we don't know. Hashem is powerful and perfect. So what is Chachma of Hashem and what is Bina of Hashem? Who knows? But we know what our Chachma and what our Bina is. Our Chachma is the knowledge we have, and our Bina, our understanding, is what we extrapolate and understand and analyze in that knowledge, right? So we know, although we can't describe how it works by Hashem, Hashem also has, so to speak, Chachma and Bina. And those two things crystallize, those two parts of reason, the knowledge and awareness, the facts, plus the understanding and analysis. The Chachma and the Bina crystallize themselves in Torah Shebiksav and in Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebiksav is the body of knowledge. Torah Shebaal Peh is the interpretation, understanding, and analysis thereof. Right? Rabbi Saul Salanter says, for us, Gemara became Torah Shebiksav. Right? Because originally Gemara was all analysis, interpretation. Now Gemara Shas became a canon. In and of itself, it became a Tanakh kind of work. So our work is now to be, we're kind of like a step removed. What we do to Gemara is once what the Gemara was doing to Torah Shebiksav. But the point is, the process still exists at some level. Originally, the process was much more directly related to Torah Shebiksav. Now it's more indirectly related. So he says, the Torah Shebaal Peh nobles Bina Shalmal comes from the aspect of Bina Diliba. This is with the heart. We know many times we've explained Bina Yisera Nino Lenoshim. Women have greater intuition. Why is that? Give a greater intuition because they have a greater sense of what things are supposed to be and what they mean. Why do they have this greater sense? Because they are, their hearts function at a higher level. Man is more analytical, perhaps, but a man uses the mind more. Men. Whereas a woman uses her heart more. So a man is good at remembering facts. A woman is more good at being intuitively understanding and sensing what the facts mean and what their parameters are. So Chachma is a male attribute. Bina is a female attribute. Now I want to stress, I stress this many times, stress it again. When we talk about male and female attributes in Kabbalah or in Jewish thought, it doesn't mean that all men are Chachamim and all women are Nevonim. It don't work that way. Rather, when in Kabbalah are male and female paradigms, sometimes also happen to be how men and women act. But you can have a woman's paradigm in a man man, and if man's paradigm in a woman. So it's important never to get mixed up between the two. But somebody asked me the other day in Yeshiva, and I was getting off on a tangent, but I don't think recall ever discussing this. Somebody asked me, how come in Judaism we refer to God always as a male? It's not 100% true, because the Shekhinah is feminine, right? Shekhinah is Nekeva. But how can we always speak about our God as Ator, right? Who, right? Why is God always referred to as male? So I told him, because in the Hebrew language, in Lashon HaKodesh, the male and female paradigms and gender descriptions don't necessarily have to do with being a man or being a woman, but rather male signifies giving, and female signifies receiving. It happens to be that for obvious reasons, a man is described as being male and a woman is described as being female. But the paradigms are giving and receiving. So who's the ultimate giver of them all? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu is normally called by the male terminology, male pronouns. Except in the aspect of the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah's revealed divine presence in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only reveals his divine presence to the extent that we fulfill mitzvahs and we bring his presence into the world. So therefore, when we talk about the Shekhinah, we talk about Shekhinah in Lashon Nekeva, because that is, so to speak, a receiving aspect of Hashem. So it's important to remember that although we talk about Hashem as being a Zachar, in terms of the term Zachar, it's not that Hashem is male or female. Obviously, Hashem transcends any such description. Rather, what it means is that Zachar connotes giving, and Hashem is always giving. Except when we talk about the divine presence, which receives, which is contingent on our Torah and mitzvahs. Okay? So the Torah about being a feminine trait, it doesn't necessarily mean that all women are nevonim. Even though it says bina yisera nidna l'nashim, but it doesn't mean that they use it the right way. Right? It doesn't mean that all men are chachamim. A lot of men are idiots. But the point is that these are considered to be related to those two models. Okay? So Alev Mavin, the heart understands. Remen Nishba Bina, Lulavavas and Israel, from the heart comes the Bina to all of the Lulavavas of Am Yisrael, loving Dabar Mitoch Dabar, to understand one thing from another thing in Torah Biksav. Now, all that just explains how Torah Shbalpeh is related to Bina. Right? It's analysis, it's understanding. Now let's take a look at the next place where there's a bracket. Valkane, and therefore Bina Machu Shneim removes in both seals Sahain. Bina corresponds to the first hay in the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. Machus corresponds to the second hay. Yud Kei Vav Kei, the second hay. Why? The hay Nibra Olam Hazeh. This world, it says, is created with Olam with that letter hay. It's an imperfect world. So Ispashtus Komin Eni Vroim Shonim. It also, first of all, it connotes that everything can expand in all directions. Not like you, there's a little point. It doesn't expand at all. Hey, it goes in all sorts of different directions. Besides that, more importantly perhaps, the Eshmokam Lasseitz Lamisha Reitza. If you want to drop out of this world, you can drop out of this world. How do you drop out of this world? To the bottom. A sinner drops out, so to speak. He falls down out of this world. That's right. The commercial cause of, like it says, Menachos Kuftes and Beis. Va'umos, the last week's. The same one, but Va'umos, Hema Yotim, the nature of the world, they leave. The Lani Shurusham, they'll remain there. Ve'inlam Shaykhus Lukufa He, and they don't remain in the body of the Aromas of Knesset, which will lose time Yisrael. Before a person sins, a person is connected to the lower hay. After a person does tshuva, how does he do tshuva? A person sins and does tshuva. How do you do tshuva? First, before you sin, you represent the Malchus of Hashem. You're a Jew who keeps Torah mitzvahs. You sin, you fell down, out of the hay, right? It says, how do you get back in? Chazal tells him, he can't, but he can't go back to the bottom. He can't go back up the same way he went there down. You have to go through the side door of the hay. You have to go come around. You can't go up. And Reb Tzadok says that alludes to the other hay. The hay of Bina. Oh, now you want to do tshuva. How do you do tshuva? You have to look at what you did wrong and analyze it and see. What did I do wrong? How can I rectify? In other words, I regret it. I want to change. I want to build myself. I want to use that negative experience to build on it to dafka become a better person. That doesn't mean just going straight up. It's not bygones be bygones. It means uplifting yourself, going in the side door, going on a higher level. After you do you sin and they do tshuva, the ma'ale ba'achi bring you in the other door. The kershlo kesser give you a crown. Kisa hasam, like it says there. Zehel yona, that's the higher height. Our marriage list for tshuva, which has to do tshuva to levava yavin v'shav. That is hard to understand, and he should do tshuva kayadua. As is known. Of a Malkum Shabali Chuva only, where Bali Chuva stand, then even the Tzadikim can't stand there. The Misalin of Tzadikim Gurim. They are higher than the Tzadikim, showing their Chapesach Elyon. They go through the top door. Because Baruch Hu Kesher Lohen Kesher Elyon. He gives them a high crown. Lidabik the Bina to connect themselves to the Bina, to the analysis and understanding of what they did and what they must do now. Alright, let's get to the next place to have the bracket. V'asogas habino shebil vavam, when a Baal Tshuva has that understanding, who asogas hamistor, he understands the mystery. V'avakodesh baruch hu. V'abino agnuza, and the deeper understanding, v'akati apum l'gali, which cannot be revealed orally or verbally. You know something? A person who sins, says the tzaddik, says it all over. He feels that somehow the sin impels him, propels him towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu more. That was the Ratzon Hashem that he sin and he do tshuva. But it can't be expressed. It's not logical. L'chaira, the logic dictates that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never want you to sin. Yet about tshuva, we know zedonos, intentional sins, not so as chuyas, can become for him merits. Somehow, about tshuva sees, it was dark, out of the darkness Hashem wants me to make light. And it's a much sweeter light when it's compared to the previous dark. That's a very big chiddush. It's a very dangerous one too. Because people like Shabtai Tzvi, you know what they did? They said, yeah, Hashem wants light from darkness. So what's that from the done? What do we got to do now? We got to sin first. First we got to create the darkness, and then only afterwards we can make the light, right? So it's a very dangerous doctrine, but it's true, says the Tzaddik. You can't live by it. In other words, Ha'emer Echtav Ashuv. Ema speaking to the other last of tshuva. The person says, I'll sin, and then I'll do tshuva. He'll end up like Shabbat Tzvi, a Muslim, right? But nonetheless, there's a truth of validity to this approach. Vabina Elishim is Gali said they peel to be sur Bnei Yisrael b'chol dor v'dor. That understanding is revealed in the mouths of Bnei Yisrael in every generation. B'torish ba'peh, in the ongoing creation torish ba'peh ad eis ketz till the end of time. She is Gali will be revealed gama ketz amiti, the true end. Lein kol before everybody. Miliba from the hearts, Lupuma de Bnei Yisrael. In other words, it'll be seen how every sin was Gamzu L'Toyva. How everything, if you look at it, had a result which is good. Somehow, it caused the Kiddush Hashem in some way. Whether it be like this, backhanded, or this, straight, everything brought about a Kiddush Hashem. In some way, shape, or form. Vaziyat Tachlis HaShlemus, and then will be the completion of Torah Shbapeh. The Tachlis HaShlemus 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 and the completion of Tshuva, the Abatai, which are connected. Kiddush HaShlemus, Midas HaTshuva, to the extent that the Tshuva is whole. The Vavas, Bnei Yisrael, in the hearts of Jews, Beis Ador, in any generation. Tachlis Galus Torah Shbapeh, Shvachach Mil Tador. That's to that extent there's Torah Shbapeh in the Chachom of that generation. It's a Nebuch. You know what that means? It means we don't got too much Tshuva today. Because we don't got too much Torah about that. Okay, that requires further explanation, but not for now. Dalkein David. Well, you know what? I will explain it now. I just saw in the. I don't normally look in the Jewish press. However, I happened the other day to look in the Jewish press, yesterday, 2 days ago. And in the Aguna column, there was a whole discussion of whatever, the latest nefarious things that husbands do to their wives. Be that as it may. So the fellow who writes the column, Rabbi Mendel Epstein, wrote a very, very sad but true commentary on Judaism in the 90s. He said, you have to be very careful who you marry off your daughter to. Because what a koilo man and what a yeshiva bacher meant in the 1960s, it doesn't mean in the 1990s. When, say, if somebody was a yeshiva bachar or learned in Kailan in the 60s, you could assume that this person was a refined a person, a mensch, a baal midos tovos, a yirei shamayim, perhaps even a talmid chacham. Today, every Tom, Dick, or Harry, or every Uncle Beryl and Shmerel learns in yeshiva, learns in kollel, and they don't get very much out of it, a lot of them. They remain not mentioned, they remain not Yirei Shamayim, and very certainly they don't very often become Talmidei Chachamim, despite all their years in yeshiva and in kollel. Now, this is a very sad state of affairs, but you can't deny the truth, that this is happening left and right, and therefore something is wrong. Something is wrong. Tshuva doesn't necessarily mean a person was a Rosh and then he became a tzaddik. That Baruch Hashem we have a lot of. But that people, them, people who have midos rose, or people who have a certain chisor in their personality, should strive to overcome it. That's what we're truly lacking. And that's what causes all the problems that we have in Orthodox Judaism in the 90s. And that's why, if it's a door which doesn't have that kind of true tshuva, it's no wonder that we don't have that many Talmidei Chachamim in this generation. Generation which is poor in Midos Tovos and in true Tshuva and Yiras Shamayim is a generation which is poor in Torah and in Talmud Torah. Okay? His goal is to search about the King David and Melchor Shom. Therefore, by David, Shekim Oloshu Tshuva, who brought up the great yoke of Tshuva, literally, he erected it. He began to forge the Torah Shabbat Peh. Bizgalus, outright. He represents the beginning of wisdom in the hands of those who are wise. He is a transition figure from the Vua to Chachma. Like it says in Balabasa, that Chachamim superior. Ayn Shamber Ramban Vinizkar. To Asagas Ruach Kodesh, she had the perception of Ruach HaKodesh. The Nishar Gamish Nistakun Vua, which was present even when there was no Nivua. David was a Navi. He had Nivua. I made that mistake earlier in Sefer Shmuel. He was a Navi. But even though he didn't have Nivua, he had Ruach HaKodesh. And that's again the capacity to give Shaul, you know, that push, to give him that simcha. What was David? He was about Ruach HaKodesh. What's Ruach HaKodesh? Ruach HaKodesh means even when you don't have a direct revelation from Hashem. Shmuel's big mass, my word, was Shmuel brought Nivua to be much more common in Am Yisrael. People had revelations left and right at the time of Shmuel like they never had before. But David Maila is, even when you don't have a Nevuah, you can have Ruach HaKodesh. How do you have the Ruach HaKodesh? By being inspired by Tehillim. By being inspired by David HaMelech's great work, which he had through his Ruach HaKodesh, which he then instilled into his work, into what he was. And this was from his trait of Malchus. All the traits which we mentioned last week, that he was a he was Yodan again, and Gibor Chayil, Ish Milchama, Unavon Davar, Navon, Biadbina, Vishtoar, Vashem Imo, all those traits which make him a Melech, gave him the power to put a give Ruach HaKodesh, the capacity to achieve Ruach HaKodesh in Amisrael. Now, you know, you don't know this, but I'll tell it to you anyway. The Ruach of the Baal Shem Tov said that every sefer written to the Maharsha, I don't know if Baal Shem Tov actually said this, but they say the Baal Shem Tov said that all the sefer written to the Maharsha were written by Ruach HaKodesh. Now, it doesn't mean that they're all right. You can have Ruach HaKodesh and be completely wrong. It just means that when you wrote it, you had a divine inspiration. But if you have divine inspiration, you're barking up the wrong tree. It won't help you to bark up the right tree instead. It just means that your words are written with a particular insight. When we say that somebody has a Ruach HaKodesh, or in our generation, has Siyata Dishmaya, or even a spark of holiness, it doesn't mean that they're right. It means that they're living on a higher plane of existence than we are. Or at that time that they're writing their sefer, or being involved in saying a shir, or hearing a good shir, then they're on a higher... Come on, guys. Then you're involved in a higher plane, a little bit more elevated than you are. And David HaMelech gave that capacity with his poetic soul, so to speak, with his Hashem Imo, with all that, he gave that capacity of Am Yisrael. That's what he did for us. That was the Malchus which he gave to us. And let's see that inside here. To Asadus Ruach HaKadosh, the Ganisha, which means Gamish Nistakunavu, even when the boy left. So called Asadus Chachamas HaRahami Ruach HaKadosh, and all the perception of the Chachamim was with that Ruach HaKadosh. View to what it's known. The commotion, Moshe Rabbeinu, Lava Shalmaya Rabban, Shal Kol Anavim, just like Moshe Rabbeinu was the Rebbe of all prophets, Kene David Rabban Shabali Ruach HaKadosh. David was the master of Bali Ruach HaKadosh. When we mentor from him, has Cholas his Pashas Ruach HaKadosh Bisrael, the Ruach HaKadosh began to spread throughout Am Yisrael. Umimenu has cholas habatz asatera. Frame Torah began to be spread and widespread. Va'avach kochma and wisdom was studied to be yeshivas gedolos and great yeshivas with talmidim rabbi many students shloid in avur without prophecy, which used to be an essential. It no longer was essential. Because he activated everybody's understanding in their own hearts, their sensitivity and their feeling, their emotional understanding about Kodesh Baruch Hu and of Torah, which caused David himself to be the big Baal Tshuva. And then he goes on to discuss Rabbi Yonasi, he was a descendant of David HaMelech, not for now. But in any event, interesting thing in this regard, Gilas Rus, of course, read when? Second day Shulis. Asher Tzadik, what's wrong with this picture? Miguel Shulis is read the second day of Shulis. Why? Which is the primary day of Shulis? First or second day? Right, the first day of Shavuos. You would mean the seventh day of Sivan. That's what Mamugad Avram's Kasha Torah was giving. Okay, but let me be Pashtus. The first day of Shavuos. So why did he read it on the second day of Shavuos? Says Tzadik, you know why? If there's no other takana which manifests the concept of Torah Baal Peh as much as Yontif Sheni Shel Golios, because in essence, the entire world from the time Adam Arishon got kicked out of Gan Eden is a world of Golos. To a higher degree, to a lesser degree, it's all Golos. Even in Eretz Yisrael, at the time of David and Shlomo, people still died, right? There was still anguish in the world, pain, anguish, right? It's all a Golos from the high level of Olam Haba and of Gan Eden. In this Golos, to a greater or lesser extent, we have to introduce Kedusha. When it's in Eretz Yisrael, it's much easier. When it's in Chutz La'aretz, they're a shtickle harder. And therefore, when we're in Chutz La'aretz, what do we need? What manifests this instilling Kedusha in ourselves to a greatest extent? What's the most public manifestation of not even the Torah telling us what how to instill Kedusha, but Chachamim, the Torah Shmal Peh, telling us how to deal with Golos? Yontif Sheni Shel Golios. Who began this capacity? It was the one who laid the foundation for the intuitive sense of we have to provide more and more means for coming closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu. We have to be misbinding. We have to analyze, understand, sense how to come closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu. David HaMelech. We want to commemorate David. We want to connect it into some manifestation of the power which David gave us. We read Rus on the second day of Shavuos. On the day which personifies the Koyach of Torah Shebaal Peh, and the Torah Shebaal Peh facing the challenges which we face in order to make sure we don't fall out the bottom of the hay. Whether we manifest that more, not on the first day of Shavuos, but on the second day of Shavuos. Now, as you saw, you don't have a choice. You read Rus on the first day of Shavuos, there ain't no second day. For Chutzah, so there's a second day, so you read Rus on the second day, and you have to Sheni Shel Golios. Now, I wrote it here a little bit perhaps better than I just said it over here. David HaMelech's Malchus is primarily significant in its role as a vehicle for Malchus Shamayim. The necessity for human vehicles for Malchus Shamayim is rooted in the Hester Panim, the darkness of the world status as Golos to various degrees. the quintessential expression of the Malchus Shamayim and Golus, of trying to bring Malchus Shamayim to Golus, is Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios. Lachein, therefore, Ruth, she nikreis Ima Shel Malchus, who's called the mother, the source of the Malchus, Shemimena Yischil Binya Malchus B'Tzav, from which Malchus Beis David begins, the David HaMelech Olav HaShalom, I can't read the next word I wrote. In any event, he is Omer Kova. He is the vehicle for Midas Malchus. Umalchus Peh, Tershba Peh, and the Malchus of the mouth, Tershba Peh, also, Kamo Shemanu. Okay, Nikros Megillas Ruth, beyond the Shani, the Shavuos Satsa Megillas Ruth is read on the second day of Shavuos. Now, before we begin Perek Zion, there's one other thing I saw over Shabbos in Reb Tzadok, a beautiful, beautiful thing on Perek Tezvav. Perek Tezvav. When Hashem came, when Shmuel came to Eliyahu, the first son of Yishai, he said, "Oh, this has got to be it." And Hashem said, "Al tabed him arei, don't look at him, kimastiv, because I find him repugnant." And it says, "Hashem yira ad adam yira leinayim, you see superficially, Hashem yira lelevav, I see his heart." So Rashi brings down there from Chazal, what did Hashem see? That in next parak, in Perek Yizayin, when David comes to the battlefield against Goliath, so Eliyahu gets mad and says, "You little punk, go back home. What are you doing here on the battlefield?" So Rashi says, since he was Kohath, since he was angry, he was a Baal Kaas, that's why he was repudiated, rejected by from the kingship. So I said, sort of, when did the anger occur? Later. Now is he angry? No. Now he was a nice, sedate, well-behaved individual. So Hashem is rejecting him because of the future? What's the pshat? It's not fair. Anybody can mess up in the future. Governor Malcolm himself might mess up in the future. It's not fair to reject him because of that. So Tzadok says an amazing thing. And this is in the Kuntres Divrei Chalomos. I copied it down, but I'll tell you outside. Kuntres Divrei Chalomos is a Kuntres, a few pages, of things which Reb Tzadok dreamt. The things which were revealed to Reb Tzadok in his dreams. And this dream, he happened to dream on Parshas Bamidbar, Shabbos Parshas Bamidbar. It's not related to Parshas Bamidbar at all. It's an amazing dream. It says by Reuven that when Reuven had, it says in Pasuk, Reuven had relations with his mother, with his father's Pelegesh, with Bila, and then it says by Yishkav Reuven as whatever Bila Pelegesh Aviv, and then immediately afterwards there's an interruption in the Pasuk that says by Yubnei Yaakov Shteim Asar Pasuk and Brachos. So ask himself, what's going on there? What's the connection? First it says, beginning of the pasuk, he did this ma'aser, and then it says immediately afterwards, by Bnei Yaakov Shnei Masar. At the first place, the Chumash, where it says the number of Bnei Yaakov, that Yaakov had 12 kids. I'm not in a strange place, why there? This is a beautiful verse, he says. It's amazing, it's a very basic fundamental principle, that's what it says. You ready? He says that any chisaron in midos, any shortcoming in your character, is most dangerous when it's in potential. When it's still in potential. When it hasn't yet expressed itself in practice. Because you don't know how devastating it might be. If a person possesses a temper, who knows what he can do with his temper? Maybe he can go murder somebody. If a person possesses a taiva, who knows what he can do? Maybe he'll go and have a relationship with a nation's ish. Who knows? Once the trait has expressed itself in a sin, and a sin is nishke ferlach, okay, then we're more secure about this person. Then he can be trusted. Because you see, he has a temper, but the temper, when it manifested itself, has been manifested itself in such a terrible way. Okay, fine, we're more reassured. What? He passed the test. Reuven, before the Nisayon of Bila, we know he was a Baal Taiva. A pile of puzzies, is what Yaakov says. A hasty person, driven to do things like water, pour Bachas Gamay. Who knows what terrible thing he could do? Could we include him in the children of Yaakov? Could we save it by Yubnei Yaakov's name also? No, because who knows what Reuven might do someday with that terrible Shemitah which he has. The same thing with Shimon and Levi. Although they're not in this pasuk, but they too. Before they killed Shechem, who knows what could have become of Shimon and Levi? It's only after they go through a test, and we see the Taka don't go so astray. And we know Chazal say that by Reuven and Bilhah, he didn't really have relations with her. He mixed up the beds. You know, he put the bed from one tent to another tent. And even on that, says Reb Tzadok, we know that afterwards he was besako over Taniso, he was in sackcloth and fasting to do tshuva. Once we see that when Reuven's put to test, it's not so terrible. He sinned, but not such a bad sin. Now he can be trusted.
How do we know in either case that the mice is going to be the last mice? Maybe the first mice was...
Hashem sent him an Nisayon.
Yeah, but the first mice was very light. Right. Passed the test, but the second one may be already terrible.
No, that's the pshat. The pshat is, you're right, it's a good question. The answer must be that Hashem, precisely this, that's why Hashem sent him this test. This is the test which will clarify matters. A person needs at least one test, sometimes more. But says the Tzaddik, here Hashem designed this test, this Nisayon.
Yeah, but he wasn't finished yet.
No, he was. We don't see afterwards Reuven was ever tested again. He didn't need another test. That much Hashem knows. He passed this test, everything is clarified. Right? He didn't fail it as bad as he could have. That's what we're saying.
But you're saying he could have been much worse.
Could have been much worse, right. Could have been much worse, that's right. And that's sufficient,
but
Hashem.
But how do we know that God is going to stop him from doing in the future that worse
thing? That Hashem knows. Once it passes in Nisayon, that's a bit of a lot of Nisayon is like that. By Avraham Avinu with that Kedah. Right? The final Nisayon, let's say. So what? Same thing. Just because Avraham passed this Nisayon, how do you know Avraham's going to pass the next Nisayon? And what about number 11?
Number 11.
No, the pshat is. The pshat. What? Right, so that's what Tzaddik is saying. You're right, it could be sometimes more Nisayon is required, but after this Nisayon, Hashem already knew about Reuven. Hi, sometimes Nisayon is required, but by Reuven, this was it. Once he passed this, okay, we could say, didn't pass it, but didn't fail it as badly as he could have. Now we can say, Vayu b'nei Yaakov shnei Moser. So he says, but that's not true about Eliyav. Here was before the test. By Eliyav, we don't know what the anger would have brought yet. All we know is he has a temper. Maybe the next parak, when Taka gets angry, if it's Nishke Ferlach, then we can give him something. We can hold him in esteem. But at this point, we don't know what to do with him. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's the pshat. Right now, he's mos. Right now, he's disgusting. After we put him to a test, maybe he won't be disgusting anymore. As long as that chisor which is in him has not come out to fruition, so until then, b'mas and indeed, loy efshel manos b'chlal shvatim. He couldn't count Reuven and shvatim. Now chisor shish b'kol because of the potential shortcoming he has. And we are there echon magia. Who knows how far it'll get? So therefore, only afterwards, skipping down a few lines, v'achashi otzlapo once it came to fruition. These bar dein chisorim el b'dov akal. It was only clarified it was a light chisorim. So therefore, he's okay. We can count him. And that's why it says thereafter, Vayu b'nei Yaakov shnei Moser. Okay. So that's what Reb Tzadok is saying. Reb Tzadok has a lot of, in many places, Reb Tzadok says that things are not always judged by the past, but by their future and their potential as well. And that's until, and this is a manifestation of that, this rejection of Eliyahu. Not saying that's the only, neither is the Chazal saying, that's the only reason why Eliyahu was rejected. Because he was angry. Obviously, David had some miles, which is why he was picked, but that's an important part. Now,
I give you a prize.
Better choose life.
But it seems that essentially that every person, when he's created, has been given the two heroes. In other words, and yet, it's very difficult to say. Even though he sees that there's no honest,
but you don't know that till the Nisayon.
What?
You don't know that till he passes the test. It's not.
But my question is, how do we know that this was the test? Maybe there is even a more difficult test.
Right. That's true. And that was the machlekes, so to speak, between Yitzchak and Hashem, Yaakov and Hashem, about Yitzchak. Remember that machlekes? Between Yaakov and Hashem. Yitzchak said, Hashem said, Anochi Elokei Avicha Yitzchak. And Hashem, so Yaakov says to Hashem, don't say that. You're Pachad Yitzchak. Hashem says, your father passed all the tests already. I can say I'm Elokei Yitzchak. Yitzchak says, don't do my father any favors. It's been my father any favors. It's better if you keep on testing him. Let's call him, let's just call you Pachad Yitzchak. Does that ring a bell anywhere? No? Hashem only calls somebody Eloke that says, I am his Eloka. Eloke Avraham, Eloke Yitzchak, Eloke Yaakov, if they passed all the tests. But Hashem, Yaakov is displeased with that, because Yaakov wants to say, well, if he's passed all tests, what's he going to get rewarded for from that one? But you're right. You're right, and I'm right. Yaakov, there is a Madrega, on which Hashem says he's passed all Nisyonis already. Or at least enough Nisyonis that we know that this trait is his for sure. By the others, they passed so many tests that they reached a level where Mamish Hashem could say, I am Elokei Yitzchak.
Only Hashem could testify on that person.
Right, only Hashem could testify on that.
He's standing aside to see what was happening. We cannot say that.
That's true. That's what Hashem says. Adam Yirlei Naim, you will not know, but Hashem Yirlei Levav, I know. So by Yitzchak I say, I know Elokei Yitzchak. Yaakov doesn't like that. But Yirlei says, I know Elokei Yitzchak. By Vayubnei Yaakov Shnei Masar, after the Nisayon of Reuven, Hashem says, I know this Nisayon suffices. By the case of Eliyav, Hashem says he hasn't undergone a Nisayon yet. Who knows what's going to be with him? And so on and so forth. Okay? We don't know the future will bring. Now, the truth is it's late, so I'm going to tell you a little bit outside about Perek Yitzayim before we started, because it's also in Yonah de Yoyma. Guess who's coming on Perek Yitzayim? A new friend we haven't met yet in Sefer Shmuel. Goliath, right? Goliath. Perek Yitzayim is going to be the battle between David and Goliath. Now, who is Goliath's great great grandmother? No, not Lothar. We did. The other one, Naomi's sister, Orpah. I'm sorry, Ruth's sister, Orpah. Orpah, Ruth's sister, Orpah. That's Oprah, not Orpah. Right? Yeah. There's an explicit pasuk in Divrei Yomim, I think it is. Maybe in Melachim, I don't have it offhand here, but it's an explicit pasuk that Orpah had a whole bunch of kids who were giants, one of which was a great grandchildren, whatever it was, I don't recall. I think it's kids. But in any event, one of them was Goliath. Ooh, because I'll say, how is she zeichet to a kid like Goliath? So say Chazal, because of the kiss she gave Naomi before Naomi left. She cried and she kissed Naomi. So, okay, fine. But that's what you get? Azai Yiddish and Nachas, did you get a Goliath from kissing Naomi? What? Orpah. She wasn't Jewish. But at least give her a nice kid for her son, not Goliath, right? So we mentioned last year, we learned Ruth, I was just looking at my notes tonight, from Rav Yosef Lipovitz, that Goliath was also, he was not a simple person. And he gives a whole mahalach in the perek, which we won't be able to get to tonight, we'll see next week, which he says, Goliath was a refined person. It wasn't just a barbaric Russia, he was a refined Russia. And that came from the schus which Orpah had from giving Naomi that emotional goodbye kiss. Yeah, they were cousins. Yeah, that's right. And that Reb Tzadok picks up on. Reb Tzadok says a very fascinating thing. He says, you know what? If you have a great trait by a guy, it's got to be that it comes from the Jews somehow. There's no such thing as a great, salient, outstanding trait by a guy unless it has a Jewish source. And he says, Bilam, let's say, he gives three examples. Bilam was a great man, right? Where did he get it from? So Chazal say, Lavan is, the Bilam is a Lavan. Now whether the Bilam was a yes, Mamish Lavan, or just he was there was a mystical connection between the two, doesn't make a difference for our purpose. But if whatever connection was between Bilam and Lavan, where did Lavan get all of his greatness from?
Lavan.
Yeah.
From Yaakov.
Before Yaakov came along, Lavan was a nobody. It says he sent his daughters out with the sheep to graze them because he didn't have any sons. He was a Nebuchadnezzar. All of his greatness, Lavan's greatness, came from Yaakov. If there's Bilam was great, and Chazal associated Bilam with Lavan, the greatness of Bilam somehow comes from Yaakov. Well, we talk about Bilam, we describe in greater detail, but not for tonight.
I was studying with somebody a few days ago, and then I told him, I said, it's very difficult to understand why did the Jewish have to go the route that the Melech and the Prince Israel should be enough. From
Moab. Yes.
So you told me I worked for the Shem of Kikoski.
Yeah.
Very interesting thing. He says, you have to realize, the trade of a Melech is not a Jewish thing.
Melech is not Jewish.
It's not a Jewish thing. He says, and also by Teva, he says, Jews are Bnei Rachmon. This is the Teva of a Jew, that he's a Bnei
Rachmon. The Teva of a Jew is to be a Rachmon. The nature of a Jew is to be a Rachmon.
He says, a Melech cannot be a Rachmon.
That's be a shtickle and
Abzer. That's be an Abzer. Yeah. He has to chop off heads when he doesn't have to chop off heads. He says, and this trait is not to be found.
That's come from Moab.
That has to come from there.
It's a nice part. I disagree, but it's a nice word. I don't think that's the pshat. I'll tell you what I think the pshat is, just in a nutshell, which is that the exact opposite, which is that that's talk of the trade of Moab is that they were achzorim, and the trade of Stoim, Bnos Lot, we know they came from Stoim, achzorim, the biggest cruel people in the world. But why was Ruth Zocha to be the mother of David HaMelech? Because Ruth overcame all that. The Ruth overcame. She did the greatest chesed in the world. She came back with Naomi for no.
You can reconcile.
I know. I can reconcile what you're saying. That's true.
You're right. Sure enough, she was second daughter.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the genes still have to carry. You still need these type of genes in the offspring, and that could have only come from.
You're right. Okay. We can say the same thing. Okay, fine. Well, let's get back to Goliath. You're right, I accept that. You're right. You can reconcile the two. So Goliath came from Orpah. Orpah turned back. Oh, excuse me. One other example. Bilam's Koyach came from Yaakov. Haman's Koyach, where did that come from? That's an easy one. Who came from? Who came in life? Who literally managed to Shoal. Haman came from Shoal. And Goliath comes from Naomi. Okay? From the power of Naomi. Okay. Now, in each case, there are two ways to deal with that kind of kedusha which gets into the goyim and is misused by the goyim, right? One is to sublimate it, to rechannel it to Judaism, and the other is to destroy it and eradicate it. So by Bilam, they destroyed Bilam, they quashed it. Nonetheless, they used Bilam. Both elements are true. But Bilam has a whole parasha in the Torah. Tremendous parasha. So both things were done. By Haman too. They quashed Haman. But what happened with Haman also? His grandchildren learned Torah in Bnei Brak. Here we come to Goliath. By Goliath, there was no Kedusha to be absorbed into Klal Yisrael. Well, he didn't have that kind of Kedusha. But he had to be, but that Kedusha was totally, I should take that back. I scratched it. By Goliath, there was a great Kedusha, which Naomi had, as a Jewish person, and which Orpah absorbed, not just because she kissed Naomi, but because she felt at that moment a tremendous sincere tug towards Judaism, despite the fact that she abused it, but it was there. And it manifests itself in Goliath, who had, of course, great potential, a mammoth potential, a giant potential. The only way to deal with that is to send David out to deal with it. And David deals with it in two ways. Again, he quashes Goliath, but that's not all David's going to do with the Plishtim. David has a very, and we're just starting the sort of scratching the surface here, but David has a very interesting relationship with the Plishtim. David first kills Goliath, and then he takes 100 arolos for the Plishtim, right, later on 100 arolos for them, and then later on he goes and he hides by the Plishtim when he's running away from Shaul. So David has a different relationship than Shaul with the Plishtim. Shaul is just fourth thing. David has this kind of love-hate relationship. That's something we're going to have to deal with as we go along. But in any event, the power that David fights Goliath had to be. Because since Goliath came from Arpah, and David came from Rus, you have to, what's the only power in Klal Yisrael which can overcome that great love abused by Arpah is the great love used, L'shem Shamayim, of Rus. Shaul couldn't overcome Goliath. We're going to see Shaul was seized with a tremendous fear of Goliath. He was mamish immobilized from fear. The great warrior Shaul. He was a great warrior Shaul. But Goliath wasn't just ashamed of because of his strength, but rather because of Arpa. Because that Kedusha abused was something Shaul did not know how to contend with. David, who represented Rus, was the one who could come and defeat Goliath, could deal with it. I'll come back to that next week.